thank you for joining us here on the Neutral Zone. I am Phil Milani, joined as always by my partner in crime, my esteemed colleague. Really, the best way to describe this person is my everything, and I need him today. It's at Eric Dalala.
Phil, great to be back with you. And a tough loss there down in H-Town.
The streak is over.
The streak is over?
It was good while it lasted, Eric. It was really nice,
actually. A lot of memories.
Nice.
I mean, I'll think back fondly.
5 weeks, just a month of just elation.
6 weeks, really, because we got the whole
bye. And
the bye,
week. Too, yeah. Month and a half, really, if you really just really think about it. But now it's over, and it's time to...
start a new streak.
Pick up the pieces. Sean said that, hey, this Monday was going to be tough. You got to watch the tape, correct the mistakes, and move forward here.
People may have noticed... that Ben Swanson comes back to the podcast, the Broncos immediately lose.
I didn't want to go there.
That's why he's not here. We had to make a tough change. Sometimes in this business, you've got to make tough decisions.
That is true.
We've had to make one.
Yeah, that is true.
We're not going to go into the details. That's kind of an in-house matter, but...
Yeah. Something about an oil well or something there too, right?
Yeah,
I don't want to...
Let's just say you can't always swim where you want to swim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's just say it.
So that's kind of important.
Yeah, kind of leave it at that. But the Broncos lose 22-17. Had a chance there at the end, Eric. So many games in the NFL come right down to the wire. And for all the things that had not gone in the Broncos' favor during the game, they still were in a position where they, had first and goal, enough time to take a few shots there at the end zone. And unfortunately, it just did not work out for Denver.
Yeah, let's start there at the final sequence, because Denver, 0 of 11 on third down.
They did not convert a third down against the Texans.
Ended up losing the turnover battle 3-0. And yet you've got a chance there at the end to get in the end zone. It's interesting, Phil. The Broncos got into Houston territory with about 4 minutes left on the clock, had to convert a couple of fourth downs, which
Javonte made a heck of a play, just got enough yards there. And then Russ, using his legs, converted another fourth down. And you were like, maybe there's still some old magic left in the tank.
Right. What I will say is that you got to a point where time was a little bit of an issue, maybe.
Running the ball in that last sequence of plays was probably off the table, I would say.
Right. I believe on first down, there were about 23 seconds left, which would have made it throwing short of the goal line or scrambling for yards. It would have been really dicey.
Really tough.
You maybe would have needed to get out of bounds and certainly a sack or something like that. You might have just run out of time. So that's kind of where I start, is maybe a little bit more time would have been helpful in that situation.
And the Broncos did have to take a timeout coming out of the two-minute warning there.
Right, which, as Sean Payton explained, that was more of he wanted to see what the look was that the Texans were going to give him and then call timeout and get the best play. And given that it was fourth and two, obviously if you don't convert on that, the game's over.
Yeah.
I can see why he wanted to make sure they had the best possible play, but not having that timeout later hurt.
Yeah.
There was a situation there where Russ – on the second fourth down, scrambles for a first
down.
That's
a call timeout.
Right. Well, you wonder in that situation, is it possible to run up to the line and spike it?
Yeah.
Maybe save a timeout there. I don't know if that would have taken too much time. You probably would have limited yourself to maybe two plays into the end zone, but you would have had a timeout, so maybe you could have run it or thrown it short of the goal line. I don't know. What we do know is the last play of the game, according to Sean Payton, there was supposed to be some sort of shift with the wide receivers that would have put the given the Broncos the intended play.
Yeah, there was three. There was like sort of a bunch formation there off to the left.
There's supposed to be some sort of shift. It did not happen. You end up with Russell immediately getting pressure from the left side.
Free
He's got a bailout.
Cannot take a sack.
Cannot take a sack, obviously. Sees Lucas Kroll, who is open in the end zone for a moment.
For a second there, yeah.
Ball doesn't quite get there. Jimmy Ward makes a nice play, undercuts it, and ends the game. Cortland Sutton is kind of maybe around the five-yard line.
There was confusion. I think there was just some confusion there.
And Sean described it as
street
chaos.
Ball. Yeah.
And chaos.
Yes. He was like, let's give a name to that final play, chaos.
Right.
And he said, look, like when the free rusher comes off there, Russ has to avoid him, does a good job of that. And then at that point, you're just playing sort of street ball. Everybody's just, it's a free for all.
Right. And I think my initial reaction is one, good for the Broncos that they're even in this game, despite playing kind of as poorly as they played for portions of the game. And then the second one is feeling just like a big missed opportunity.
Yeah, and there were missed opportunities within the game, too.
Of course, yeah. And feeling like, man, if you could have just gotten the touchdown there, or if you know, Jonathan Cooper is able to grab that fumble there and give the Broncos possession in Houston territory, or you're able to make a catch early in the game if you're Cortland Sutton, you know, kind of a bunch of different moments there, you had a big opportunity to get to 7-5 and really solidify kind of the path toward the postseason.
Yeah.
I think if the Broncos had just played kind of average for portions of that game, they would have won the football game.
Yeah, they kind of, like I said this on the postgame show, they got away from their winning formula a little bit, Eric. You know, during this winning streak, we saw the Broncos take away the ball a bunch, did not do that against the Texans. We saw the Broncos protect the football really well, did not do that against the Texans. And time of possession had been on the Broncos' side here in a lot of those games during the streak, primarily because they were able to really dominate the line of scrimmage. You know, they had played a really a physical brand of football. They were able to establish the running game a lot during the streak, and it never felt like the offense had that opportunity to get into a rhythm against the Texans. Like you mentioned, 0 for 11 on third down. When you're not converting on all of those, it's really hard to just get into like a good flow. Certainly as a play caller, you know, one of the things that Sean Payton's so good at is keeping a defense off balance so much. And when you're not having those long drives like that, it's really hard to utilize that as an asset. So they were never able, really able to develop like a strong running game. I think Javonte had like 10 carries for 46 yards, which is a good average, but just 10 carries for Javonte, you know, he's one of your big playmakers. And so, you know, I think that they just got away from what had given them a lot of success during the five games.
Right. And obviously in the second half, when you're down 13 points in the fourth quarter, you're going to have to throw the ball probably more than you would if it's a close game. So that probably accounts for some of it, but certainly early, you know, the first two plays of the games were shot plays down the field.
Yeah.
And Cortland Sutton has it in his hands, isn't able to quite haul it in. I think if that came right after a three and out by the Texans, if Cortland hauls that in Houston territory, we could be talking about an entirely different game just in terms of the way the Broncos set the tone. And if you look at it, it's like scoring margins. Denver fell behind 10-0 in the first quarter and then outscored Houston 17-12 the rest of the game.
Yeah. That first quarter was not a good quarter for the Broncos.
No, really not a good quarter. You
give up a bunch of explosives, you know.
Explosive plays. You have a situation where it seems like you've stopped him on fourth down, held him to a field goal, be 6-0.
Yeah.
And instead, Alex Singleton gets called for unnecessary roughness, shoves C.J. Stroud. They were both in each other's faces, and I think it was a little bit of a ticky-tack call, but you also just can't do it.
Yeah, I think that in that situation, you got to know the scenario. It's fourth down. Don't let a rookie bait you into something like that.
So it's not, you know, it's not a linebacker going with an offensive lineman.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Quarterback's always going to get that call.
Right. So that makes it 10-0, which is tough. I will say the defense, Phil, in the second half in particular, I thought played much better. They brought some pressure in creative ways, whether it's PJ Locke, Jaquan McMillan, Alex Singleton. I think it was on the final.
Singleton,
it was either the final drive or Houston's second to last drive where timed the blitz perfectly.
Yeah.
Stroud didn't even have a chance, and they're able to force a third and long there, I believe. The defense stepped up.
Played well in the fourth quarter.
And held them to field goals generally. Obviously not able to do that after the sudden change with the Cooper doesn't get the fumble recovery. They punt it away. Russell Wilson's passes tipped at the line of scrimmage and picked off. And that was a big moment in the game where instead of recovering that and you could go up 17-16 or cut it to 16-13, boom, they get the ball right back. Now it's 23-10 and the momentum just completely shifts again.
Yeah. There are a couple of times like that where you just felt like the game was sort of on a teetering, you know, a little bit.
Right.
One was even that Samaje Perine where they said that he stopped short. That was sort of a close call there where
Broncos got
A little bit lucky there. Yeah. So I kind of think about it sometimes a little bit in this way, Eric, where if Russ would have been able to convert a touchdown there, then today we'd be talking about a close victory where the Broncos pulled it out and you're still sort of feeling that good vibe going. But in reality, you know, like if you just look at this, like last six games or so, some of those could have gone either way, you know, for the Broncos. And for five in a row, the Broncos had come out on top. They had made a play here or there, made a long field goal as time expired or whatever. You know, these games tend to go where a couple plays, either way, you're winning or losing. And just against the Texans, you know, it did not go the Broncos' way. So,
yeah. And listen, part of what we have talked about with Las Vegas, Washington, New York, those losses is that you're not always going to win every single one possession game or every single close game. Like, that tends to even out, and you tend to be, you know, if you can be at 60 or 70% of those, it's a good number.
That's good. Yeah.
And so if you'd won a couple of those other games and you were, say we're sitting here at 6-6, so 8-4 or something, a loss wouldn't sting quite as bad, but because of the hole, and Sean Payton said this after the game, because of the hole the Broncos put themselves in to start at 1-5, now a one possession loss or a interception in the end zone to end the game, it has a lot more impact on a season than it would if maybe you'd taken care of some of those other games. And listen, it's the NFL. Unless you're an elite team, which I think the Broncos are still working toward being, you're going to be in these close games. You're going to need to pull them out. Yesterday they weren't able to do that, and it's definitely a missed opportunity, and it puts you in a situation where, certainly from an AFC standpoint, you cannot lose again.
No, they got to win all their AFC games. Yeah, that's true. The conference tiebreaker, they're behind in that scenario. And it would have helped if the Colts would have lost there. They come from behind and get an overtime win against the Titans. Steelers did lose, though.
Steelers and Browns both lost, so which helps.
That helps. But tiebreakers against Houston not looking so great right now. So
no. And yeah, maybe at this point you just need Houston and Indy to kind of run away with that and have Pittsburgh and Cleveland fall off. And
yeah,
and
we'll have to see what happens.
We'll see what happens there. And
still five games to go. So
five games.
A long time.
Listen, that's a 7-5 Houston team. And it's hard to go on the road, especially that early kick. We've seen that pose a few problems this year. I don't know if it's just as simple as it feels early or what, but, certainly after that initial 15 minutes, the Broncos got things together a little bit.
Yeah, they did not start the game with some of that juice that we've seen, you know, like early turnover in a couple of those wins. Just didn't have that same sort of level of energy. It seemed like the Broncos were missing that to start.
But it did, like, everybody was saying, oh, can the Broncos win without these turnovers? I think the Broncos could have won yesterday with that defensive performance.
Yeah, 22 against the Texans. That's not bad.
22,
that's not,
and one
a bad
of them came on a very
short field.
In the second half, when it mattered, they essentially shut Stroud down. They had one, I think, field goal on their opening drive of the second half, and then the touchdown on the very short field. But otherwise, a lot of punts.
Should mention Tank Dell left the game.
Yep.
It seems like his season's over. Fractured fibula.
Yeah, painful.
That did not look good. Nico Collins went off, though. I think he had 191 yards, which is that's a lot of production.
A lot of yards.
So that's a lot of yards. But they did make adjustments as the game went on, and things got better. And when they needed stops at the end to give this offense a chance to go out and win the game, they did it.
But I thought that was encouraging from the standpoint of, at times this year we've seen this defense only get stops because of turnovers.
Oh, yeah.
Like there were times against Buffalo, for example. Buffalo moved the ball up and down the field,
but they'd get a turnover,
and boom, it wipes out the chance. That wasn't as much the case, especially in the second half on Sunday. Denver just made some good defensive plays, put Houston in a lot of third and longs.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Denver going 0 of 11. I don't think Houston was any better than 3 of 14, 3 of 15.
Yeah.
They were also not successful on third down. And, listen, Stroud made some plays where it's third and long and he buys time. And yeah, he's a good player. But I thought the Broncos did enough defensively. Like you said, on offense, Phil, Sean Payton talked about the communication just needs to be better. There are things that are still happening that he called troublesome, worrying.
At this point in the season. Yeah. You know, at 12 games in, Eric, you would think that some of these things would just be humming at this point. But I have a couple of things I want to touch on the offense here. We talked about missed opportunities. You know, I think about the Broncos, like, top playmakers. I'm like, okay, Sutton had that early drop. That was a missed opportunity. Mims is a big playmaker. There was an opportunity for him to get a big touchdown, maybe. Ball's a little bit underthrown, but maybe a PI call there.
Definitely a PI call there.
Felt like, yeah, okay, PI call. We saw around the league, though, yesterday. Yeah. PI was not being called. Maybe there was something going on there.
But then the Samaje one on the last drive.
Yeah,
way less contact than
got that call. Yeah,
than the Mims, and they called that. It's just
hard to know what you're going to get there with the PI. So that was a missed thing where maybe if you hit a home run ball there, the NRG swings, and then NRG. Judy,
The NRG
swings. Yeah, NRG.
A lot of crowd noise there, Phil. For how many people were there?
That's a lot of Broncos fans. That's just what they kept showing.
Well, I meant a lot of Houston crowd noise for how many Houston fans are there. It's just, makes you think what's going on.
Sometimes with the domes, you don't really know what's happening. But and then Judy, you know, there's that clip, you know, of him running wide open there. And, you know, just he doesn't get a lot of targets, I would say, Judy, at this point. So I just think about, okay, those are the three big playmakers for the Broncos, you know, and you're talking about just some missed chances there where if a play is made here or there in a game like that, maybe you're talking about a different outcome.
Yeah, so, absolutely. I think especially that first Sutton play just kind of set the tone.
Yeah.
Or if you connect over the top, I think they would have been at like the Houston 40 or something. Even if you just get a field goal on that drive, you've kind of set a little bit of a tone.
Yeah, I agree.
The Judy, I know he was wide open, and I was watching it live and could kind of see it developing. The Houston press box is way up there. Basically,
so you see all of it.
I could see like looking down.
It's like that camera angle where they show the guy just from above.
Exactly. That's where I was.
That's what you're doing. I mean, those ISO shots don't show what's happening at the line of scrimmage.
Well, it was clear that Judy was not the first read on that play. It was kind of a play developing to the right. It was fourth and one.
Yeah.
And Russ gets pressure. And can he hang in there and throw that ball to Judy for a touchdown? Ideally, he gets to that part of his progression and throws it. I also understand the standpoint of it's fourth and one. Let's pick up a first down here and not take a chance.
I think Sean said on Monday that there were like maybe two or three of those types of plays. So I'll just say overall, I don't know exactly what's happening, but I would just say it doesn't seem like those two have great chemistry or like not on the same page always at the same time. You know, like I think we were expecting Judy to have a huge season, you know, and that just hasn't really, for whatever reason. I'm not assigning blame or anything anywhere. I'm just saying when I watch the games and I use my eyeballs, I'm like, these two don't seem to be certainly not the same way that like Russ and Sutton have really hit it off here. I mean, that Sutton made a tremendous catch on that touchdown.
Nine touchdowns.
And every single one of them feel like they were some kind of spectacular play.
Yeah,
like
he's playing good football.
Those two seem to have really good, like just feel for like where each other are going to be. Not the same case maybe for Judy.
Right? Well, and we talked about this before the season. Sean's offenses a lot of the time have had a dude. And Sutton, maybe not from a yardage standpoint because the Broncos' passing yardage hasn't been maybe where you would expect, but from a standpoint of like key moments, Cortland has been the guy.
I thought the ball was going. I mean, he got one target there on second down, I think, at the end of the game.
Yeah, it kind of looked to me almost like the first down target was trying to go to him, too. There were two guys kind of in the same area with Troutman and Cortland.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if that was the right routes there or what was happening, but.
Yeah. I thought he was going to make that catch.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to make some sort of a play down there.
I think that Russ clearly trusts Cortland. The offense is clearly. Cortland's given a chance to make plays that could be hurting some of Judy's production. I don't know. He did have the catch in the fourth quarter, right?
Yeah, down the sideline there. Yeah, 41 yards.
Kind of a coverage bust. And you do feel a little bit bad for Judy that he gets a great effort to fight for more
almost
yards.
Had that touch.
Gets all the way down to the one and then QB sneak.
Well,
you know, I mean, obviously they're not going to probably throw it there, but you feel Judy almost has a 42-yard touchdown and instead 41-yard gain.
Almost had that.
No touchdown.
That is true.
But yeah, the offense, Sean said, there's whether it's the communication, protection.
That's what I was going to say, the protection, because last week against the Browns, you were like, how are they going to deal with Myles Garrett? And the offensive line plays tremendous. I mean, you don't even know who Myles Garrett is out there. His name's not being called.
Yeah.
But then yesterday, Will Anderson, he was all over the place.
Yeah, he played a great game.
And Sean on Monday said, look, there's a lot of push coming from the right side. That's what he said. And he just said that the pass protection needs to be a little more consistent there, because I think that you look at this thing and you say, okay, hey, Russ didn't play very well. He had the three interceptions, you know. But I'll say that he was running for his life for a huge portion of that game, you know, including the final play where he threw the interception, you know.
Yeah.
He had to avoid a lot of pressure against the Texans.
And that was, to be fair, from the left on that.
That one play was from the left, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was. You know, we talked all week about how great the offensive line was playing. And, you know, Mike McGlinchey said, hey, if you don't, I think it was before the Browns game, if you don't bring it each and every week, someone's going to smack you in the mouth.
Yeah.
Seemed like that happened a little bit to this Get Broncos
knocked
offense.
Out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Russ certainly, the last interception I look at and I'm like, yeah, maybe you throw it away there or you got to put a little more on it. But the second one, Stingley makes a heck of a play.
Yeah.
The first one deflected, so I don't know
still
how.
Still makes a heck of a play.
Right. I mean, but I don't know how much that's on Russ. I know you got to get it over, but
yeah,
kind of a fluky one. So, and he made some big-time throws. Obviously not perfect, but I think the protection has to be better there.
The passing game, just in general, like the Broncos, the most success that they're going to have with this offense is where they're playing really complementary football with the running game and the passing game. They're working off of each other. They're having consistent drives down the field, and then they're hitting some shots over the top. That's when this thing's really humming. It's working like that. You know, it's not going to be like how, you know, Stroud just lets a rip out there. That's not exactly how this team is like sort of built to have sustained success. So I do think that, you know, the other thing I was going to bring up to you is like the first drive coming out of the locker room there in the second half. Sean said, hey, we might even start scripting those, you know, as the game's going on, just to have ready for that first drive in the third quarter, just because they haven't had the success that they want there too. So I think that, you know, you lose this game here. There's a lot of correctable moments from this, but I think the way you approach it is like, look, Let's learn from this thing. Let's move forward here. You still got five games. These games are all going to be really important. And you got to just build off of this and learn moving forward. So it stinks to lose. And I think that Sean was asked on Monday, like, hey, does this loss feel a little different than the early season ones? Just because now you've had some success. Maybe you've sort of just let this bounce off and you keep going. And he was like, no, every loss stinks.
Yeah.
So
Javonte said that after the loss, he said, we did some things that we did when we were 1-5.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've got
exactly.
We've got to correct those quickly. I will say you mentioned the passing game. I was looking this up real quick. Russ on play action.
Oh yeah. I saw that.
Six of nine, 122 yards, 13.6 yards per attempt, a touchdown and a 146 passer rating.
Much better off the play action.
No play action, 9 of 17, 64 yards, 3.8 yards per attempt, 3 picks, no touchdowns, and a 22 passer rating. So yeah, certainly that speaks to what you're just saying, right? When the run game is a threat and then you can go play action, they protected that well a lot of the times because Javonte or whoever would kind of go double that guy.
And it makes you just sort of pause for a second there as a defense.
It like, gives oh. you a cleaner pocket. So yeah, we'll see if the Broncos use some more of that moving forward. But yeah, Phil, I'm less like discouraged by how they played and more kind of just disappointed at the missed opportunity, if that makes sense. Because
yeah,
I think that's a good Houston Texans team. They now are going to make the playoffs essentially if they don't kind of crumble here down the stretch. So it's a road game against a playoff team. You had every opportunity to win late in the game. I think there's a chance you might look back at the end of the year and be like, man, if we had just gotten that one, that would have been the game we needed. But, you know, I look ahead to a Chargers team and I think if you can just clean some things up, like you play defensively the way you did this week, I think it should be enough to slow the Chargers down. They just won 6-0 in New England.
Yeah.
And, you know, can you get back to the run game and Russell Wilson throwing play action passes? I think you should be able to have some success. And then, you know, obviously Detroit's a tough matchup, but my goal for this team would be, can you find a way to kind of get to that final three game stretch here of New England, Chargers at home, Raiders on the road, and still, you know, be at,
you're right there.
Yeah. Be worst case 7-7 with the win over the Chargers, and find a way to then go on a little run there.
Yeah.
But
they're not out of anything like that.
It gets harder for sure.
But I think you're going to have to, I think Sean said after a game that it was sort of a sloppy game.
Yeah.
I think that if the Broncos play their best football, they're winning a lot of these games. So it's sort of upon them to just go out there and play their formula, the way that they need to play cleaner. They're going to win some of these games, and they just weren't able to do that against the Texans.
Yeah. Had the Broncos won yesterday, then down the stretch, if there's a fluky loss to the Chargers or the Raiders or somebody, it would have been okay.
Now there's no more.
Now that margin for error is essentially gone from an AFC standpoint. And I think the magic number here is still going to be 10.
Yeah.
You're going to need some things now to go your way with the Houston loss. Like, you're going to need Pittsburgh to maybe finish 9-8. You're going to need one of these teams to drop a little bit. But 10 is probably going to still put you in a pretty good position where you're likely in. But again, from an AFC standpoint, you've now lost your margin for error.
Yeah. You got to win these. And when you're talking about going 4-1 down the stretch, you got to win these games. So that's sort of the position they're in.
And
they can do it, though.
They could definitely do it. I mean, they have one team with a winning record left on their schedule. Obviously, division games are always tough and always difficult. Broncos have not won an AFC West road game, I believe, since.
That's true. That's been a long time.
2019?
It would have been Chargers, right?
I think 2019 is the last time they won an AFC West road game.
Yeah.
They have not won at SoFi. They have not won at Allegiant. And certainly at Arrowhead. We know how that's gone.
Yeah.
So, you're going to have to buck a trend here, do it twice in 5 weeks. But it's got to start this week. Phil, I will say one area we'll see when the injury report comes out on Wednesday. It seemed like the Broncos dodged a couple of bullets.
Sertan
came back in. Mims came back in.
Yeah,
Manhurst, Quinn Meinerz. All those guys exited at least briefly and were able to come back.
Yeah.
And again, knock on wood, this team's been pretty healthy. We'll see how they are Wednesday. But you're going to need these guys down the stretch.
Yeah, most definitely. Clean some things up here this week. Correct the mistakes. And, I think if they can play cleaner football, they're going to be in good position, I think. But, not able to do that against the Texans. A 22-17 loss where, hey, if you would have won that one, you would have still sort of felt the same way today, I think, saying, hey, there's a lot that you still need to correct. So, of course, winning.
A win would have felt a little
winning
better.
Winning makes you feel nice, though. So we'll see if Swanson, we allow him to come back. I think he's in timeout.
Yeah.
It's been naughty. And
time of year, that's bad.
That's not good.
No.
That's not good because you know who's watching. He's making a list, Eric. So
it's true.
We'll see. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back later this week to go in-depth with our preview of the Chargers matchup. Until then, for Eric Dalala, I am Phil Milani. You've been lost. You've been listening to.
Lost.
Lost. And you've been listening.
The Neutral Zone.
Listen up, Denver Broncos fans. Paramount Plus is your streaming home to catch every local NFL on CBS game this season. Visit ParamountPlus.com to start your free trial and stream Russell Wilson and the boys as they battle the league's best. Plus, get an all-access pass to 24/7 NFL content with CBS Sports HQ, Fantasy Football Today, NFL Slime Time, and more. And this year, Paramount Plus is your streaming destination for Super Bowl 58. Another action-packed Broncos season with the NFL on CBS awaits. So stream Paramount Plus from any device all season long.